And I pray that here in Australia, the church might be awakened in these days, that they'll reach out throughout this land. Because, you know, here in Australia, there are still people who do not know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. That is an amazing thing. But I can take you to people. I will show you people in Brisbane, in Sydney, who have no idea, actually, of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Australia is still waiting in the gospel. Yes, it's had the gospel for centuries. Well, at least for the last 200 years, more or less. But a new generation is growing up. And they are growing up without the gospel. And every evil influence is at work in our schools, as you know, to destroy faith in the earth, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are seeking to wear out the saints and to bring the whole of humanity into captivity to Satan. And I'll be dealing with that tonight under this subject of the progress of the New World Order. You know the Lord's Prayer. The prayer the Lord Jesus gave as a model, not a prayer to be recited like a parrot, but a prayer that expresses the desire of the believer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you know the rest. That expression, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is something that is to come to this earth. And the Lord Jesus is going to come to bring that kingdom, to establish the kingdom and to reign in righteousness upon this earth. The kingdom of God. Many people will say, but the kingdom of God is within you. It is already here. It is true, there is a spiritual kingdom that is in our hearts. When the Lord Jesus is enthroned in our hearts, we are in his kingdom. But there is another kingdom that is a literal kingdom upon this earth when the Lord Jesus reigns in righteousness. And he will reign from Jerusalem, as we read in the Old Testament prophets. And the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of God. Yes, the Lord is coming, and I'm excited about that. As I see the events pointing towards his near return, as I see the time when it is drawing near for the Lord Jesus to take his rightful place upon the throne of planet earth. Satan is counterfeiting the work of God. Right down the century, Satan has counterfeited in every way. He always counterfeits as closely as he can. And Satan has a plan to bring about his kingdom. His kingdom, of course, referred to in the book of Colossians, is a kingdom of darkness. A kingdom that ensnares and brings people down into great darkness. A kingdom that binds and destroys. And Satan is working to establish his kingdom. And he has enlisted hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people in his program to bring about a new world order. And that is the name of Satan's kingdom. Some may say, oh, that is going too far. What is wrong with the new world order? Surely we must have a new world because the present world is so bad. I remember speaking to a man in Western Australia who was so excited about the New World Order. He said, within a couple of years, we'll be living in a world flowing with milk and honey. He spoke about the needs and the problems of the world and how we must put our resources together, how we must strive together, all the peoples of the world, sharing to bring in a new world order that would solve the problems of the world and would bring equality, equity, and blessing to the planet Earth. We hear a lot about this new world order today. A few years ago, we hardly heard the expression, although it was there for a long time. This expression, new world order, is not new. You can go back 200 years and you will see on the American dollar note that very expression. In this book, Mystery 666, you will see a picture of a part of the American dollar note, the single dollar. And on the back side is a picture of a pyramid. Let me explain it. 200 years ago, a great seal of America was designed. It was designed by leaders of an organization called the Illuminati. This great seal of America, on the front side, it had a picture, the design of an eagle with 13 stars. On the back side of this seal was the symbol of a pyramid. And the capstone, the top stone of the pyramid, is suspended above the pyramid. And in the center of that pyramid or triangle that forms the capstone is an eye. That is the symbol that is seen on this book, Mystery 666. It is printed on every single American dollar note. A pyramid with 13 steps with a triangle and an eye in the center. And above the pyramid are the words, Anuitcoptis. And underneath are the Latin words, Novus Ordo Seclorum. Anuitcoptis means the nod has been given, or the go-ahead has been given for the New World Order. Novus Ordo Seclorum, the New World Order. Strange, isn't it? This motto, Novus Ordo Seclorum, was the motto of the Illuminati. Their plan from the very beginning was to bring in a New World Order. What is the Illuminati? It was an organization formed by a brilliant conspirator by the name of Adam Weishaupt. He was brilliant. He had capitalized on other secret organizations. He was a member of the Manichaeism religion, a religion that incorporated Persian, Buddhist, Christian, and Satanist concepts and ideas, bringing them together. He was a Satanist. His plan was to bring about total control of the world, if not in his own time, in a future time. The Illuminati has always worked looking ahead to the distant future, to the time when the plan could be fulfilled. And that plan, or that word plan, is one of the code words of the Illuminati. We hear about it today. The great invocation that is being printed, and you will see it in some of the billboards here or there. The great invocation that is being prayed throughout the whole world and advocated or promoted by the New Age movement calls for the plan to be fulfilled upon earth. The plan is the plan of the New World Order. What is it? It is a totally planned and controlled world. It is not enough simply to plan. For the plans to be implemented, the world must be controlled. And that's what it's all about. The Illuminati has been working these last 200 odd years to bring about this plan. I say Adam Weishaupt was brilliant. He laid out many of the plans, and those plans have been built upon as the years have gone by, so that today we see a mass of organizations around the world working towards this new world order. We see the leaders of the nations crying out for a new international economic order. And yet as we study the details, we see the plans for the new international economic order came through a woman named Alice Bailey, who was a leader of the Theosophical Society, the founder of the Lucis Trust, which was known earlier as the Lucifer Publishing Company in New York. Alice Bailey claims that the plans for the New World Order or the New International Economic Order were given direct to her by transmission. From whom? From Satan. The plans to bring in the new world are advancing rapidly. Now, in the world, we have many arguments and reasonings. We are told that there are many problems, and we will agree. There are problems. The food problem, the population problem, the armaments problem, the monetary collapse, the economic chaos in the world, the pollution problem, the crime problem, the drug problem, and so on. And one problem that the Club of Rome mentions is this problem: the inability of national governments to solve their own problems. Well, that is a problem, because nations are not solving their problems. Of course, the full picture will show us that many of these problems have been created by men, evil men, who are seeking to control the world. One way to gain control is to create trouble and then to present your solution to that problem. And that is what has been going on for many, many decades. The Illuminati, formed in 1776, has spread out throughout the world. It was active very early. In fact, George Washington himself warned of the doctrine of the Illuminati at the end of the 18th century. It has formed organization after organization. Very early in the peace, it infiltrated the Freemasons of Europe and spread the doctrine And today we see the Illuminati as a part and parcel of the Freemasonry movement in the higher levels. The same symbol used by the Illuminati is used in the Freemasons today, the triangle with the eye in the center. But it is used by many organizations, and it is appearing more and more. The pyramid itself is a symbol of this new world order. And in case you've been wondering why you're seeing so many pyramids appearing today, it's because the new world order is about to be established, being brought in step by step. Let me go back to last century. About 1848, Karl Marx wrote the Communist Manifesto. But few people realized that he was paid to write the Communist Manifesto. He was paid by the leading international bankers, the House of Rothschild. The Rothschilds have been involved in the Illuminati plan from very early. Communism, then, is a creation of the Illuminati, for Karl Marx was also a member of the League of Just Men, which was an Illuminati organization. Communism, I say, is a part of the plan to bring in a totalitarian world, a world absolutely controlled. And I think you probably will agree with me that communism aims at controlling the world. And yes, my friend, communism is not the whole of the plan. It is only one arm of the plan. This evil plan has a multitude of arms that's reaching out into every area of society to bring the world under control. Late last century, another organization was formed by a man called Cecil Rhodes, a man who made a fortune in South Africa, and who one time was the governor of South Africa. He spent his fortune to provide Rhodes scholarships to selected men and women from all over the world who would be trained in the doctrine of the New World Order. Cecil Rhodes formed the organization called the Round Table, which has nothing to do with King Arthur. This is a modern round table, people joining together to bring about a new world. Many of the people who become involved in the organizations work sincerely to bring about a better world. We are learning more and more of the organizations that have been involved and that are spearheading the organization today. We have learned a little bit about the Club of Rome, which was formed in 1948. The Club of Rome, by the way, is not a group of retired Italians. It is one of the most powerful organizations in the world. And they have planned and made the detailed blueprints of the New World Order. They have divided the world up into 10 regions, as you perhaps already know, for this New World Order. But, my friend, every area of society must be planned and the plan implemented. People are working for this new world order because they feel it is the only solution to our world's problems. Perhaps one of our greatest problems is nuclear weapons. Today, the atomic scientists say that it is 2 minutes to midnight, 2 minutes before a nuclear explosion. Well, we know it is coming. A nuclear war is very possible, and also it is prophesied in the Bible, a world war that will cause utter destruction, not complete destruction, but a destruction of one-third of the world's surface and a quarter of the world's population. Scientists tell us we only have 2 minutes to that time. In fact, they would say you have 2 minutes to make up your mind. To make up your mind, what about whether you will accept the New World Order or not? I'm reminded of the words of a man back early this century, a man called James Warburg, a Jewish banker connected with the Jewish International Bankers, the House of Rothschild. James Warburg was part of the families that came to America and intermarried and bought into the American banks, particularly the Chase Manhattan and the Citibank and the Morgan banks and the Kuhn Loebs, the main leading New York banks. James Warburg spoke to the American Foreign Senate Relations Committee early this century, and he said, "We will have world government whether you like it or not, by consent or by conquest." So the choice is ours, or shall we say, the choice is that of our leaders, whether they will surrender to a world government or whether they must be forced into submission by world war. I believe the nations will be forced, because we are not willing, are we, to surrender. Even our leaders are rather dubious about surrendering sovereignty to an international body. But now people are calling out for the world order. Just to give you an example of what is happening, a statement from our Prime Minister, that is my Prime Minister in India, Mrs. Indira Gandhi, who is a brilliant woman. She's the best man they've got in India. And Mrs. Gandhi is quite an exponent of this new world order. She is at present the chairperson of the non-aligned movement. Last February they had a tremendous meet there in Delhi with heads and leaders of nations. More than 100 nations were represented. And they are calling out for the new international economic order. But 2 years ago, Mrs. Gandhi opened the Fourth World Constitution Conference, which was held in Delhi. See, they've formed a constitution. And now they have to get the nations to ratify that constitution. Similar to the treaty that is here in Australia at the present time against the discrimination against women. A treaty like that being ratified nation by nation. The Fourth World Constitution Conference was held and Mrs. Gandhi spoke these words. And here is a brilliant sentence for you. A just international order is an inescapable necessity for man's survival, the Prime Minister said in a message to the World Constitution and Parliament Association, which began its fourth annual conference here yesterday. She called upon enlightened representatives of nations to develop international conventions which would make it possible for all sovereign nations to cede some of their powers of their free will to international institutions in the confidence that their dignity and just interests will never be compromised. In other words, we must surrender at least some of our rights to international bodies. And this is part of the plan of the New World Order. So step by step, it is going forward. Before I go further, let me just read from the scripture, from Revelation chapter 13, because the question comes up, will the new world order succeed, or will it even be established, or is it a vain hope of men, good men or evil men, is it a vain hope, will it be achieved? The Bible shows us a period in which the whole world will come under the control of one man. And I believe the new world order is going to be his regime. Revelation chapter 13 speaks about the beast. The beast is the man of sin. Satan's man who becomes the Antichrist. Revelation chapter 13 verse 5. And there was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies. An authority to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. An authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. There it is, very clear. The Antichrist, the beast, will control the world for 3.5 years over every tongue, tribe, people and nation. It will succeed, but it will not be the utopia that many are hoping for. It will in fact be a reign of terror, a dictatorship, a totalitarian world such as the world has never experienced in its past. The Antichrist will be far worse than Adolf Hitler, worse than any dictator of the past. And anybody who does not yield to him and bow the knee in allegiance to him and to his God, that is Satan, will be destroyed. This is actually Satan's plan. It is not merely a plan of man. It is Satan's plan. For Satan has sought the worship of the world, and he has been intent on bringing the world to ultimate destruction. Satan cannot save. He cannot save even his most devoted followers. He can only destroy, and his intention is to destroy. For 3.5 years he has power to control the world. What a tragic time that is going to be. Let me give you a little example of how things are working at the present time. In fact, many people are wondering about 1984. On the brochure advertising these meetings, we had this titled 1984, the Year of Destruction, ? Could it be? 1984 reminds us of the novel written by George Orwell. It spoke about 1984 and pictured a world controlled, where every thought was under surveillance, every person watched so carefully. A totalitarian world. We wonder whether it will happen by 1984. Not necessarily, although we see it moving very fast, but it is only a matter of time until it takes place. This pamphlet also suggests that there is a missile heading for planet Earth. The year of the missile is 1983. Of course, this year America and Russia are concerned about missiles and are debating, arguing, negotiating, without much success, of course, about the reduction of nuclear weapons. We are building up our weapons, and they will be used. War will be the means of forcing the world to surrender to a new world order. The Antichrist, however, before that, will seek to control the world through a peace initiative. And already the word is going out, the sound is going out, peace, peace, peace. And yet the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, when they say peace, then sudden destruction will come upon them. World war will take place. Here is one of the organizations that is working to bring about changes in the world. Parliamentarians for World Order. Listen to their arguments. This is an international network of legislators committed to the goal of world peace through world law. Mankind is in trouble. Correct? Right. An insane nuclear arms race. Correct. Mass hunger. Yes. Even in India at this present time, hundreds are dying of starvation in the state of Rajasthan, which has had almost no rain for 5 years. People are starving to death. Yes, aid is being sent, but too little, too late. Mass hunger and starvation is affecting Ethiopia. Today, the famine there is worse than the one in 1973. Conditions like this are increasing in many parts of the earth. I don't see too much starvation in Australia, at least not yet. Overpopulation, yes. In India we have 700 million people. Within 20 years it should reach 1 billion. It's increasing 21 million people every year. And that is happening also in much of the Asian countries and also South Africa, or throughout Africa and South America. Overpopulation and pollution all darken our future. Yes, that's true. Individual nations cannot solve these problems. True. Stronger world institutions are urgently needed. False. Because world institutions are not going to solve the problem. They may attempt and they may have limited success, but man is not going to solve his problems because he rejects the solution to the problem. And the solution is not in man's hands, but in the hands of God. And God is holding out his hands of blessing to the nations of the world, and the world says, no, we don't want God, away with him, we will not have this man to reign over us, we will solve our problems, we are educated, we are technological, we are sophisticated, and we are capable. And yet at the same time, while they maintain such, they fail in their efforts. We could solve our problems if the world were not guided by wicked men. If there was a genuine effort, and if God was sought, and his blessing sought, we could solve our problems. But the Bible shows us that man will not solve his problem until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And then the Lord will turn this world upside down, and he will remake it into a world that he chooses. But man says, no, we must choose the world that we choose. Have you heard of the Planetary Citizens, an organization formed in New York, a world organization formed just a couple of years ago? Planetary Citizens is sponsored by some of the most powerful men and some of the richest people and families and organizations in the world. It is spearheading the movement to bring about the new world order. This is one of their magazines called The Initiator. Can you see this globe and two hands holding the globe? It reminds you of the song. He's got the whole wide world in his hands, but whose hands? These are not the hands of God holding the world. These are the hands of Maitreya, Satan. Underneath the picture are the words, "This is the porcelain clay of humanity," which suggests that this world is clay that is going to be remolded. And the Planetary Citizens is acting as a secretariat for many organizations who together form a movement called the Planetary Initiative for the World We Choose. In June last, they had their first Planetary Congress held in Toronto in Canada. Their plan was to form a mandate to present to the United Nations and to all the nations of the world so that it might be ratified and changes might be brought about so that we might build the world we choose. One of the leaders of the Planetary Citizens is a man called David Spangler. Go down to Brisbane and visit some of the bookshops and you'll find books of David Spangler on the bookshelf, particularly in the occult section. David Spangler is a leader, a member of the board of directors of the Planetary Citizens. And the same David Spangler says, the world must undergo a Luciferic initiation before it can enter the new world. In other words, he's calling for a satanic baptism of this planet. They are calling for Satan to be enthroned. And in this connection, we have seen the efforts over the last year to produce a man who can solve the problems. I'm reminded of the words of Dr. Henry Spark, one of the founders of the European Economic Community, who said a few years ago, what we need is not an organization. We don't need another committee. We have enough committees and organizations. What we need is a man. We need a man who can solve the problems of the world, who can hold the world together, who can keep us from destroying ourselves. And we need such a man, and give us such a man, and I don't care whether he is God or whether he is the devil, but we will accept him. And the world will receive a man, a satanic man. The Bible calls him the man of sin, the beast, the Antichrist. But he will not solve the problems of the world, but bring the world to utter ruin. And for that reason, I am opposed to the world order being planned and implemented at this time. I believe in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom that he told us to pray for. And by the way, the Lord Jesus said, Luke chapter 21, when you see the fig tree shoot forth leaves, you know the kingdom of God is near. Today we have seen the fig tree shooting forth leaves. The fig tree is the nation of Israel. Israel is God's timepiece for these latter days. We see that nation shooting forth leaves now for 35 odd years. So we see that the kingdom of God is drawing very near. But at the same time, we see the hectic, frantic activity of the New Age movement, of the Illuminati, and of its hundreds and thousands of organizations to bring about a man and a new world order. I think everybody is aware of the movement last year and the advertisement, the Christ is now here. I know most of you have seen the advertisement, but just to remind you and of the advertisement which was published last year. And I want to ask you, could you have ever imagined that there would be an advertisement like this, published in 20 papers around the world, an advertisement that cost $500,000? The Christ is now here. The advertisement, of course, propagating and creating expectation for the appearance of one called Lord Maitreya. Maitreya is the name of a Buddhist god. He is also worshipped by Hindus as well as Buddhists. But this Maitreya is supposed to be the Christ, the one who overshadowed Jesus, Buddha, Krishna, and many other religious leaders throughout the centuries. And now they say he himself, who is the master of masters, is coming to take control of the world, or at least to show us how to share and how to solve the problems of the world. Last year it was advertised that he would appear in June on television, radio throughout the world, and nothing happened. I was not expecting him to be revealed last June, because the time is not in Satan's hand. The times are in the hands of the Lord, and nothing can be fulfilled unless God permits. I do believe that Satan was seeking to cause God to act prematurely. You see, if God moved too early, if the Lord Jesus came too early, there would be more souls lost. Today we see that God is waiting for the final harvest. The Lord Jesus is delaying for one reason, and that is, he's not willing that any should perish, but he is waiting for the ingathering of the latter rain of promise. As we read in the book of James, the husbandman is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. And my friends, in these last days, God is going to do a mighty work, and throughout the world, a great multitude are going to be saved. And already God is moving in so many places, so that it is possible the latter rain has already begun. And yet, we can expect to see a mighty movement of God in many places. The Lord is waiting for it. You see, if Satan could cause the Lord to act early, then that harvest might be lost. But God will not be dictated by Satan or anybody else. He will move at the right time. The day is appointed. The day is appointed, we are told in the book of Acts, that he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has raised from the dead, the Lord Jesus. The Lord is coming to reign. He is also coming to judge, to purge this world. In fact, the great tribulation time is a purging time. You have heard of the tribulation. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 21, "Then there will be a great tribulation such as the world has never known until this time, neither will it ever know it again." 7 years of hell upon earth. 7 years of great tragedies, of all types of disasters, including volcanic activity and earthquakes, cyclones, pestilences, diseases, and all types of plagues. A time of world war. A time of mass suicide. A time of dictatorship. A time when the earth will literally shake. As God has said, "I will shake the heavens and the earth once more." And the earth will split in two, according to the prophet Isaiah. The tribulation will last for 7 years. 7 years of hell upon the earth. And it is during that time that that prophecy in Revelation will be achieved. It is in the second half of the tribulation that the Antichrist is granted absolute power over the world. That is, authority to act. He cannot become the world ruler until God permits. And yet, his power is not from God, his power is from Satan. And Satan empowers that man so that he is able to do great and mighty works. His accomplished, the false prophet, also is empowered by Satan so that he is even able to call fire down from heaven. He is able to deceive the world and bring them to the feet of Satan. In the beginning of the tribulation, the man of sin appears. He will seek through peace initiatives to bring the world under his control. That will fail, and thus the world war that follows. There will be utter chaos in many nations. Many cities will be destroyed, because this also is a part of the plan of the New World Order. Our population is too great, they say. Let me give you an example of how this planning is going on. Have you heard of the document called Global 2000? A document formed under the Carter administration in America just a few years ago, but Ronald Reagan and the administrators of America are continuing the same plans. Global 2000. This program calls for the elimination of 2 billion people before the end of this century, because we have too many people and our population is increasing at such a dreadful rate. This is not the document. These are comments and quotes from the document. There are quotes from Alexander Haig, from Aurelio Pecci, the founder of the Club of Rome, and from men like Robert McNamara, who was the former president of the World Bank. Robert McNamara says, there are only two ways of preventing a world with 10 billion inhabitants. Either the birth rate drops or the death rate will rise. There are, of course, many ways to make the death rate increase. In the thermonuclear age, war can take care of this very quickly and in a definitive way. Famine and disease are the two oldest. Famine and disease. Nuclear war. You see, in the event of a famine, you just hold up the food supplies, the relief supplies for a few weeks, and millions of people die. The reasoning of the world planners is this. If our population increases, our problems increase, and the condition of more people deteriorate. It is better to allow people to starve off early than to allow them to reproduce in such numbers to create more misery for more people. Therefore, to be kind, you have to be cruel. So let them starve off. And if necessary, destroy them through war to solve the problems of the world. That is the reasoning of the New World Order. Do you want to join it? It'll be genocide worse, 100 times worse than Hitler. Let me read the statement of an American Republican, a man called Richard Oettinger. He says, overpopulation is a national security question. We have much greater demand on our food stocks, and we will make God-like decisions on who lives and who does not. There is not enough food to feed all who are starving. We are going to have to decide if we let millions of Africans die or Asians and Latin Americans. All kinds of things can happen, like the civil war in El Salvador. We can go in and wipe them out and it will solve the population problem. We will be on the side of dictators and the population problem will be solved. Harlan Cleveland, an international director of the Aspen Institute of Humanistic Studies in Colorado, says, we need 100 El Salvadors. Wars are increasing. There will be no peace until the King of Peace returns. But in World War III, all nations will be tied in one way or another. Look throughout the world today and you see the crises continuing. We see it in Central America. We see it in Cambodia. We see it in Africa. We see it in the Gulf countries. Around the world, new sparks are rising. The World War III will tie them all together. It will not be a single conflict. It will be many conflicts interlocked in a major confrontation, a dreadful nuclear holocaust. World War III. The center, of course, will be Jerusalem. That's what the Bible tells us. Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah is an amazing prophet. The second last book of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. Behold, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling to all the peoples around. And when the siege is against Jerusalem, it will also be against Judah. And it will come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. And all who lift it will be severely injured. And all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. Yes, all the nations of the earth will be gathered against Jerusalem. It is World War III. Why should Jerusalem be the center? Because Jerusalem is to be the capital of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the place appointed. It is also to be the capital of the Antichrist regime. Naturally, for he will seek to claim to be the Messiah. And of course, you would not expect to find the Messiah in Kabulcher. You would expect to find him in one place and one place only, Jerusalem. So he will move in and make it his capital. But he will move in after the world war. The world war will be to bring chaos so that nations surrender. You read in the book of Daniel chapter 11 that he goes forth to utterly destroy and to annihilate many. You read in the book of Ezekiel chapter 38 how Russia invades the land of Israel. This is at the same time, but Russia will be destroyed when they invade Israel and when they surround Jerusalem. It will leave the Antichrist in power. And by this time he will have conquered many nations, and he forces any who are reluctant to surrender and brings them into a world system. It is at that time that the world will truly be crying out, "Give, save us from destruction." And so they will surrender at last to a world government, to the world, new world order. Yes, this new world order involves a world government. Three main things: a world government, a one world monetary and economic system, and a one world religion. These three things are absolutely essential. And when you think of it, politics, commerce, and religion are the three things that control the lives of people. A one world government. I've told you about the world constitution that has been formed. Steps are leading the world into this regime. It is being built up step by step. There is not one United Nations. There are 100 organizations involved in the United Nations. Each are stretching forth into every country and to every area of society to build a network of organizations, cooperation, to bring the world into this one system. Networking is one of the code words of the New World Order and of the New Age movement. To mention the planetary citizens again, at their conference every day they had sessions called networking. Network is one of their code words. Benjamin Krem also speaks about this networking. You've heard of Benjamin Krem, the man who was behind the advertisement about the Christ, Maitreya, who was here. This is the magazine of Benjamin Krem, Share International. You notice the symbol on the front, the flaming diamond, a red double triangle. This was painted by Benjamin Krem himself, and it is also one of the symbols of the New Age movement. The triangle, as I explained, is the capstone of the pyramid. You can have it upright or downright, but put them together and you have the diamond. That diamond is appearing. You have a look on the road as you go down. Mitsubishi has three flaming diamonds in its symbol. The pyramid, the triangle, the diamond, and also the circles, and with the eye in the center, these are some of the most common symbols of the New Age movement. But I believe it is the triangle itself that is the mark of the beast, the capstone of the pyramid. Benjamin Krem speaks about this networking. They have what they call a great invocation, a 13-stanza prayer, or mantram, as they call it. It is actually a satanic prayer which they claim was dictated by Lord Maitreya. Who is this Lord Maitreya? Oh, they say he's some man living in London. No, he is not a man. He is Satan himself. As you study the doctrines and teachings of the New Age movement, you'll see they refer to Maitreya as the Solar Logos. I told you he counterfeits the Lord Jesus everywhere he can. The Lord Jesus is the Word, the Logos. As you read in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. And now they say Maitreya is the Logos, the universe Logos. And they say that this prayer was dictated by this solar Logos and has been used for the last 30 odd years. In fact, nearly for 40 years. It has been printed in more than 2,000 languages around the world. And people everywhere are beginning to pray this prayer regularly, to pray that the plan will be achieved on earth. But just listen to what Benjamin Graham says about this. Simply say it when convenient for each one. He says, if you want it to be more potent, join with three people. Three of you join together. Or if you are not near each other, you may be in different countries even. But join up mentally to pray. You may not be in the same town or country, or say it at the same time of the day. Simply say it when convenient for each one. And linking up mentally with the other two members, visualize a triangle of white light circulating above your heads and see it linked to a network of such triangles covering the world. A network of triangles covering the world. That's the plan. Networking. So the New Age movement is working for the New World Order. Another organization working for this same plan. An organization formed by David Rockefeller is called the Trilateral Commission. You read about it sometime. This is an article published in a British newspaper, Shadows Behind the Men of Power, and Why All the American Presidents Woo the Rockefellers, David Rockefeller in particular. The Rockefeller family in America is, of course, a very powerful family. But more than that, they have been involved in the plans for the New World Order. One of the organizations there is called the Council on Foreign Relations, formed in 1919. The present chairman is David Rockefeller, who was until recently the chairman of the world's biggest bank, the Chase Manhattan. The Trilateral Commission was also founded by David Rockefeller in 1973. Jimmy Carter was one of the founding members, and many of the leaders of the present administration, including the Secretary of State, George Shultz, and Caspar Weinberger, the Defense Minister, are members of the Trilateral Commission. George Bush also is a member of the Trilateral Commission. In fact, the plan was to make George Bush the president. But because of the popularity of Ronald Reagan, they decided that at least if they got George Bush as the vice president, that would be sufficient. Then, of course, there was the attempt on Ronald Reagan's life. If he had died instead of just being wounded, George Bush, a trilateralist, a member of the conspiracy to control the world, would have been the American president at this very moment. That is one of the organizations. Another is called the Bilderbergers, Secret Meetings to Shape the World. Tell me, who has heard of the Bilderbergers? The Bilderbergers. Let me see your hand, please. Good. Many have. If I'd asked you that 5 years ago, I don't think I would have seen more than one or two hands. But now it is coming into the open. Here is one full-page article about the Bilderbergers printed in this British newspaper. There's a picture here of Margaret Thatcher and David Rockefeller. Some of the most powerful men and women join in the Bilderbergers. They meet secretly every year to plan. What they plan, what they decide, we are not told. Nowadays, at least they have a press conference. A press conference before the conference says, there will be no decisions taken at this meeting. And then after the meetings, they will have another conference, and then they will announce, no decisions were made at the conference. So it's a very expensive meeting to make no decisions. At least no decisions are published. But it's known that they are working on the plans for the New World Order. Another secret organization, and this is rather frightening. I have an article here printed from the Spotlight magazine in America, and it says, the rights threatened by a one-world police force. There is an international organization called Interpol, connected with the United Nations, but this organization referred to here is not Interpol. This is a secret world police force which has been established. It has no respect for national borders or constitutional rights. It's a sinister new international secret service armed with the latest intelligence technology. the resources of the world's largest wiretape center, and if required, an unlimited license to kill, to assassinate. It is being formed to serve as an autonomous one-world police force. The new covert constabulary, sponsored by the trilateralists and their global allies, will operate supranationally, that is, in disregard of the prohibitions of the U.S. Constitution and of the mandate of the America's national interest. Then it goes on to say it is sponsored in particular by two men. One, David Rockefeller. Number two, Alain Rothschild. Alain Rothschild died last year, but the organization continues. The organization is referred to as TRVI, T-R-V-I. Many people will be assassinated in these days. In fact, anybody who gets in the way or is a real hindrance to the New World Order must be eliminated. I met a man in West Australia who was excited about the New World Order. Then he said to me, and his expression changed from one of excitement to one of great irritation, and he said, "But you Christians are a hindrance. Get out of the way and give somebody else a chance. You've had your chance for 2,000 years and the world is worse than ever. Give it to somebody else." Praise God. I said to him, right, we're all going soon. You can have it all to yourself. But it is true what he said. We are a hindrance. Hallelujah. We're a hindrance to the plan of Satan. Because the Lord Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." Oh, but it's a tragedy that many Christians have lost their saltiness. "You are the lights of the world," he said. But some of the lights are flickering very, very weakly. Oh, how much better it would be, how wonderful it would be if every true believer, born again of the Spirit of God, was shining brightly in these last days. And surely this is the time for God to move in the church, to awaken us to the reality of the time in which we live, so that we might trim our lamps and shine brightly for Him before it is too late. Soon the people outside will be crying out, "It is too late, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." Many will be confused as they face the organization that has been working to captivate their lives for so many hundreds of years. Soon they will meet the beast and be forced to worship him. And here, my friend, comes in the religion of the Antichrist and the economic system. I've told you a little bit about the one world government that's coming. Step by step, it's being built up. The economic system and the religion also is being built up. Now, my friend, the religion of the Antichrist is not ecumenism. Some people think it is. Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon of Revelation chapter 17. False religion, apostate religion, religion that began at the Tower of Babel, or even earlier than the Tower of Babel, before the flood. Satanic religion that reappeared at the Tower of Babel, where the cult of the Queen of Heaven and her male child was established. A religion based on astrology and with all types of mysteries that have spread throughout the nations. This same religion has spread to all nations in various forms. It's even infiltrated Christianity, so that even Mary is regarded as the Queen of Heaven by some sectors of Christendom. Mary is not the Queen of Heaven. She is the mother of our Lord Jesus. She is my sister and yours. And I love her. And I'll meet her one day. But Mary is being worshipped. A counterfeit Mary. That's Mystery Babylon. But Mystery Babylon in Revelation 17 is not just ecumenical religion. And by the way, ecumenism is not an attempt just to bring about united Christianity. We see that working the World Council of Churches and the many movements, uniting with the Roman Catholic Church to bring about a united Christian religion. But that's not the end. That's just the beginning. The plan is to unite all religions. Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, Shinto, Jewish, Christian, and all the rest. to bring them together, or as many as possible, to bring them together under one leadership. And no doubt the leadership will fall to the Pope. I believe that. And we see it moving. The Pope, the present Pope, is a most popular man. And yet he is not the last Pope, I believe. There may be another Pope after him. But the Pope will eventually become the head of the world church. At least there is an amalgam that is developing today. But my friend, that is not the religion of Satan. Even though he will use it, he certainly will. He will use it as much as he can. And then according to Revelation chapter 17, he will destroy that system. Let me read from Revelation chapter 17. And notice these words. In verse 16. Then the ten horns. And earlier we read that the ten horns are ten kings who give their sovereignty to the Antichrist. These ten horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot, Mystery Babylon, and will make her desolate and naked, and will eat her flesh, and will burn her up with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose, and by giving their kingdom to the beast, until the words of God should be fulfilled. After the Antichrist has used the ecumenical religion of Mystery Babylon, he will destroy it. Why? Because his religion is not ecumenism, a synthetic combined religion. His religion is pure Satanism. That is the religion of the Antichrist that will be established in the second half of the tribulation. And yet we see it building up today. And right throughout our country, as throughout many other countries, we see thousands and tens of thousands of people, young people in particular, being prepared as instruments for the administration of the Antichrist. When he rules worldwide, he will need a mighty army of Satanists, because his regime is not a straightforward regime, but a satanic one. His plan will be to force the world to surrender and to receive his mark. Today he is preparing the administrators, and you are passing some of them day by day in the streets. It'll be a ruthless regime. Just to mention one other thing before I forget. I mentioned how this New World Order must be totally planned. The Planetary Congress held in June. Immediately after that Congress, there was another conference, the Conference of the Association of Humanistic Psychology, which is recognized by the planetary citizens. So you see a connection, humanistic psychology. You've heard of humanism, secular humanism, and the plans and the education that is being brought into our schools. It includes, of course, sex education, the teaching of perversion, and the breaking down of all Christian values. We see it working in the Women's Lib movement, and even in this treaty that is being ratified in Australia. The treaty that is supposed to eliminate discrimination against women, but an effort to bring in the New World doctrines so that family values are broken down, the traditional roles and the family roles of mother and father are disturbed, so that young people brought up have no real knowledge, or they don't know who to relate to, or what the traditional role should be. Our world planners say that the traditional family is out. We must have new values. And the further from the Bible they can be, the better for the new world order. That's how it's working in our schools. We see witchcraft also brought into the schools. I have some documents here. Even a little girl in second class has been learning all about witches in school. One document says, here are the witch words. Witch, cat, and the that had the book of spells, toad, and all these types of words taught to little children in school. How strange, but witchcraft is to be the religion in the New World Order. Do you want to join us? Religion is playing a big part. In India, we see it working. In fact, India is wide open to the New Age movement. The Theosophical Society, which was formed by Madame Blavatsky, has its headquarters in Madras. The Theosophical Society is working for this Maitreya and to bring about the man and the regime. In India, we also have another organization very much interlinked and connected with the New Age movement. It is an organization called the Brahma Kumaris. The head of it is a woman. The founder was a man who was called Dada Lakraj, who is also referred to as Baba Shiva. Shiva Baba. Shiva is the name of a Hindu god. This man has died. Of course, they say he didn't die. He ascended to heaven. But he is also referred to as Adam, the first man, and as God. This organization has a very wide following with branches in so many countries. In fact, they have more than 800 branches. They had a big peace conference earlier this year in their headquarters, which is at a place in Rajasthan called Mount Abu. One of the distinguished guests at the conference was no other than Dr. Robert Mueller. Dr. Robert Mueller is one of the Assistant Secretary Generals of the United Nations. He is also a sponsor of the Planetary Citizen. And here he is chief guest at the peace conference held in Mount Abu in India. But they are also calling out for this new world order. Here is one example just to give you the concept of a new world order. And there are various speakers here speaking about the need for change in the world. Another quote from their leader, so-called quote, who was supposed to have come from this Shiva Baba. Thus spake Shiva Baba through Brahma Baba. And this God is supposed to have said, may you be holy even for my sake, for now I have come to re-establish a golden-aged world order for you. Just to mention another interesting quote. This is from another Secretary General of the United Nations. His name is Dr. James Joner. Not a Christian, unfortunately, although from Christian background. He is also a speaker at the Brahma Kumaris conference. He says, quite often I have the feeling, as I walk in the United Nations, a feeling that these people are beyond redemption, that the world is beyond redemption. One gets that feeling because any observer in human history cannot fail to come to the conclusion that regrettably man's history has been filled with what I can only call the panacea of evil. Then he goes on to say, maybe your organization may have some help. I think the answer lies in some of the principles and values which your spiritual university tries to teach. You must go back to the individual. You must go back to the spiritual values. That is very important. First, you cannot really change man unless man knows what is wrong with him. And then he goes on to speak about values of the New World Order. Leaders of the United Nations, leaders of the Third World, even many of our own leaders are calling out and working for this New World Order. So we see the religion in so many parts of the world. Here in India, you've seen many of the Eastern cults springing up over the last few years. Not far from here, there is a Buddhist monastery of Tibetan Buddhists. You see the Hare Krishnas. You see the orange people following the so-called Bhagwan Sri Ragnish, who is called the sex god. He used to have his headquarters at Pune. He glorifies sex and says that you can come closest to God in sexual experience. And then he escaped from India, leaving behind his unpaid debts and taxes, and has set up headquarters in America. He is one of those connected with the New Age movement. Then I have a friend in Secunderabad, Dr. Prabhakar. Last October, he was in London. He wanted to meet Benjamin Krem. So he went to the address of Benjamin Krem, knocked on the door, and the lady came out. He introduced himself. I'm Dr. Prabhakar. I've come from India, and I especially want to see Mr. Benjamin Krem. So the lady was Benjamin Krem's wife, and she took him in. And Benjamin Krem came to meet him. They had an interview for 2 hours. And my friend says it was 2 hours with the devil. The power was intense. Although Benjamin Creme himself was very pleasant, a beautiful English gentleman, yet the power was intense. Benjamin Creme showed my friend a pyramid that he has in his home. And he says, the power of Maitreya comes to me through this pyramid and from me through this pyramid to parts of the world. He says, although I have not met Maitreya face to face, like you and I are sitting here, I do see Maitreya every day telepathically, and I communicate with him every day. But who is he communicating with? Certainly not a man, but Satan himself. Then on the wall in Benjamin Creme's home was a picture of another man who is regarded as a god in India, a man called Satya Sai Baba, a little short man with a great big fuzzy hairstyle like this. A man who is reputed to do miracles. He waves his hand around and produces, well, whatever you like, rice, sugar, or even a brand new watch. I don't know whether it is trickery. I wouldn't be surprised if it was, but I know he has also occult power. Many followers came to follow Satya Sai Baba. One of his followers were later converted, a man called Tal Brook, who has written a book called The Avatar of the Night. Avatar is a Hindi word meaning a reincarnation of some special god. This is the reincarnation of darkness, Satya Sai Baba. Now, Benjamin Creme replied, because my friend asked, oh, I see you have a picture of Satya Sai Baba. And he said, yes, Satya Sai Baba. We regard him as a very high order, a god of a very high order. My friend said, well, we know all about Satya Sai Baba in India. But you see how it's tying in all the gods and all the movements. And I say you see them here in Australia, springing up many cults. Of course, some of them have philosophies that appeal to people. If they didn't have anything that appealed, then people would not follow. But many people who do not know the word of God are easily led astray by foolish philosophy, or it may even appear wise philosophy, but they follow it, even though it's a deception. Many, many are being caught up in these religions, and it's all part of the New Age movement, because they are being tied in one by one into this massive movement that comprises not hundreds but thousands of organizations. Just to mention now one other aspect, and that is the economic aspect. The new world order and the new international economic order, or the new monetary system. And you know very well how it is developing. Here in Australia you see the build-up of a cashless society. We're not quite up to the cashless aspect yet, but we're halfway there. Through the introduction of the credit cards, and then the other types of cards, and of systems whereby you don't need to carry cash, we are being led into a cashless society. Now, I have no objection to a cashless society. I think it's rather wonderful that you could carry an all-inclusive card. It saves a lot of problems, but there's a hook at the end of the line. Of course, the danger with credit cards is indebtedness. I never use one, but they tell me the problem is you have to pay the money back later. But it's the lead up to the cashless society. And I suppose you are aware that our present monetary system is crashing. Our nations are in debt. Brazil is now topping the list of nations in the third world, at least, with $102 billion debt to international banks. Mexico is about $90 billion. Even little Israel is in debt to the tune of $20 billion to international banks. And so it goes throughout the whole world. Russia, Poland, Hungary, they're all heavily in debt. But the nation that is in more debt than any other nation is the United States of America, and its debt is more than all the other nations combined. The debt of the United States is more than $1.2 trillion, and that is building up and it is multiplying at about $200 billion every year. I said billion, not million. $1.2 trillion. $200 billion extra every year. There is one difference, however. The American debt is owed to the Federal Reserve System. That is the money supplying system of America, of which Paul Volcker is the chairman. They are very much involved because it is not a government bank. It is comprised of 12 private banks who can manipulate the economy of America and of the world. Whenever the American government needs money, it is the Federal Reserve that supplies that money. Certainly, private bonds from the poor people of America cannot raise the billions that the American government needs. So, more money is created year by year. And that's the reason for inflation. You print money or create money and you have inflation. So it's not surprising that we have inflation worldwide. Our whole monetary system is utterly artificial. It is going to crash very soon. In fact, I believe this crash has already begun. Last year, there were at least 35 banks in America that crashed. This year, there's already been quite a few banks that have crashed. Last year, there were 24,000 companies that crashed in the United States. And it's getting worse this year. At times, there seems to be a little reprieve, a little recovery, but the recovery is for a short time. There cannot be a recovery of our present regime. The nations are too far in debt. There's been a battle on in the Congress recently in America because the IMF is involved, and the IMF is issuing a type of currency called SDR. It's not even a paper money, it is a credit system, so that they can lend out SDR to the nations, special drawing rights. And Paul Volcker was arguing with the American Congress, we must have power to create whatever SDR is needed to meet any situation, any economic crisis anywhere in the world. Otherwise, there could be a crash of the whole system. The American Congress says, no, we cannot give blanket permission to print as many SDR as you like, or to issue as many special drawing rights as you desire. So there has been a battle there, and I believe it's still going on. If you keep issuing artificial money, of course, the situation gets worse and worse. One of the world's greatest or most respected economic advisors is Harry Schultz, who was out here, I believe, last year. Harry Schultz said a year ago, the present system may limp on for another 1 or 2 years. The crash is coming. And at the same time, we see the new system being built up. Of course, the international bankers are not so much interested in money, especially when it's an artificial type of money that is neither gold. They are interested in power. And I suppose some of them really believe that they're going to save the world and bring in a utopia. So the new system is meant to bring in a better world. And the new system is the cashless society and the numbering system. Every individual in the world will have the 18-digit number. And as you know very well, it's going to be implanted upon the hand or on the forehead of every individual. And yet some people say, ah, that's not for my lifetime. Oh, maybe in another 20, 30, 40 years they might get around to that. So we have seen it building up. We have seen the introduction of computers and how they have revolutionized society. They're staring at you in the face now every day. And they're getting more and more clever. Look, let me show you this picture. This is rather amazing. I have here a picture of a new computer chip. And this computer chip is so small that it is pictured on the head of an ant. And it is not even as big as the ant. In fact, you need about 20 of these chips to cover the head of the ant. You may not see from there, but this is the computer chip, about the size of a grain of sugar. You see, with such chips, they can be placed in any place, undetected. A chip like this can monitor activity homes. A chip like this can even be implanted in your skin, in your hand, your forehead, your arm. It can be implanted even with a syringe. And it could be used to bring the individual under control. 1984 is upon us. The computers are with us. The plans are being accomplished to bring the whole world to the foot of Satan. The computer is a wonderful instrument, but it is going to be used by ruthless men to control the world. And it is moving very fast. I received a letter just the other day from a man out in the back of New South Wales. He spoke about a radio program coming from America. And the announcer of the program, who is called Casey, as the American top 40 disc jockey, he said, "You've heard about the rock musicians and their cassettes, and when you play them backwards, you get satanic messages." He says, "Well, now there's one group who's producing something really wonderful. Instead of satanic messages, they're bringing something about God. The name of the rock group is Styx, S-T-Y-X. They have a new album." And when he played it, these words came across. "I knew it coped this Novus Ordo Seclorum. The nod has been given for the New World Order, the very motto of the Illuminati, of the Satanists." And so the compere said, "You see, now this means God is with us. The new order has come. So don't worry, everything's okay." So the Styx group has broken the trend of satanic messages and records and really given us something good. So they say, all the utter deception of Satan. Look here, this is in India. One of our Telugu newspapers, the writing on the bottom is Telugu, a hand scanner. Put your hand in and the machine will read your number on your hand. Look here, this is some pages from the Canadian government. And if you look closely, you'll see that so many of these government offices are prefixed by the numbers 666. Government numbers. And finally, let me read one report that has come from Switzerland. From Sweden. We've heard reports of marking on the hand and forehead. In fact, that man I mentioned who is in West Australia claims that his number is on his hand. I've met him several times. I cannot prove that his number is there because it's invisible. And that's, of course, to put it on with a laser tattooer, which will be invisible because it is so small your eyes cannot see it, but just show it to a computer pickup and it will read the number. But this man has given me his number, and his number has 18 digits. And the first digit is actually not a number, but a triangle. I thought at that time, why? Why a triangle? Strange, 18 digits, but the first one is a triangle. And then suddenly hit me, of course, the triangle, the capstone of the pyramid, the mark of the beast. Then I thought, how is it that this man has already received his number? Because as I read in Revelation chapter 14, I read these fearful words, Revelation chapter 14, verse 9, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who has made the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her wrath." And another angel, a third one, followed, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives the mark on his forehead or on his hand, he will also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in the full strength in the cup of his anger. And he'll be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. And they have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name." You see there, the mark of the beast and the worship of the beast is connected. This is the terrible trick, the hook at the end of the line. The hook at the end of the new international economic order. To receive the mark, which will be necessary to do any trading at all, you first worship the devil. Then you may receive the mark. And Revelation 13 shows us very clearly, if anyone refuses to worship, he will be destroyed. That is the terrible trick It is the means by which Satan will force the individual to surrender to the regime. He will bring the national leaders under control, yes, but then the individuals through the mark of the beast. So this report has come from Sweden. It's been printed in two magazines, first in the Finnish Christian magazine New Power in March of this year, and then in the Swedish paper Svenska Dagbladet. At present in Sweden, there is an experiment involving a moneyless community. Even banks, credit cards and check accounts have been excluded in this new lifestyle. People have exchanged their normal monetary system with a new system involving the use of computers. In conjunction with this, the people concerned are taking computer marks on their hands or their foreheads. Approximately 6,000 people are involved. They have agreed voluntarily to this experiment. They have taken this mark on their hand, of which a computer register in bank shops or wherever any buying or selling is done. An electronic scanning pen is used. It runs over the mark and instantly it sends that person's number to the computer center along with all the other details of the buyer. At no stage does anyone handle any money. Very little time is needed to take the mark and it is painless. The mark is a set of numbers which is shot into the skin of a ray gun. It is irrevocable, will never wear off, and lasts a person's lifetime. It is invisible to the naked eye, but it is easily recognized in a special light. Already leaflets have been distributed to all homes telling them about this system, how it works, its benefits and advantages. It is planned that it will cover the whole country by the end of this year and later to be made compulsory to everyone. There it is, building up in Sweden. I have yet to verify the report, but this report is going around. I have readers in Sweden, and I'm writing to them to verify that this has actually happened in Sweden. But we know it's coming, because we see the signs all around. In fact, over there in Adelaide, there was a Baptist man, Pastor Prentice, his name, and I could give you his telephone number. He went to a bank in South Australia last year. He asked to open a bank account and they told him, or asked, where would you prefer your number, on the hand or forehead? He made a bit of a fuss. He said, I don't want it in either place. What's all this? And so they said after a while, oh, don't worry, this is not till next year, which is supposed to be 1983. And yet it still hasn't been in so far, at least not compulsory here so far as to my knowledge. But it is coming. It's only a matter of time now. It's not 20 years off. It's maybe only a matter of months. But even Satan will be held back. As we saw last year, Maitreya could not make his appearance. His man could not appear because it was not God's time. Even the marking system may be held back. And I want you to realize there's a verse in the book of 2 Thessalonians that is encouraging to you and I. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we read these wonderful words. Do you remember while I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him, the man of sin, so that in his time he may be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, and then the man of sin will be revealed. The Holy Spirit of God is restraining the evil plan of Satan, and he is doing it largely through the church. You and I are a hindrance to Satan's plan. God is restraining, and even the compulsory marking system cannot be brought in until God's time. I do not believe that you and I, if we are believers in the Lord Jesus and born again by His Spirit, will face the compulsory mark. A voluntary marking system, no doubt, will come in early. But in the middle of the tribulation, it is not so much a number that must be received, but the mark of the beast. I say not so much a number, but that mark, which I believe is the triangle. The mark of the beast, the symbol of the new world order. So my friends, it's getting very close. So what must we do in these days? What should we do? The time is limited, we know. We cannot rush around like cats with their tails on fire. We have to seek the will of God to know what He would have us to do. But there is one thing first we must check up. Are we born again? Because if you are not born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. If you are not born again, you will definitely be under the new world order if you are living when the Antichrist reigns. We must be born again if we're going to come to God. What is this new birth? I say this because many people are confused. I had a letter just recently from a lady who said, what will I do if I miss the rapture? See, she was worried she was going to miss the rapture because she was afraid she was not good enough to be taken to meet the Lord. And you know the Lord Jesus said, I'm coming to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, in the Father's house. But it's not a matter of how good we are. It's not even a matter of how bad we are. It's a matter of whether we are in Christ. For if we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are secure and we belong to Him and we are sealed by the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit coming into our lives. And He comes into our lives the very moment we surrender our lives to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not referring to any later experience or filling of the Spirit. I'm referring to His presence in us. And He comes into us the very moment we surrender our lives to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. And He fills us then so that we might live for God. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? How do we receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior? By calling upon Him. This is what the Scripture says. Romans 10, verse 13. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You cannot show me a verse there in the Scripture that says you must pay so much money. You cannot give me a verse to say that church membership will save you. You cannot give me a verse to say that all your good works will save you. Rather, I will show you verses to show you that good works will not save you. It is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone